السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. At the beginning of this transcription, Dr. Ismail Mangera Sahib, he mentioned certain things with regards to Brother Yusuf Bulbulia. It says several of the majalis that have been translated from tapes. In those days, was tapes, no CDs and flash drives and USBs, and so there wasn't any of that. So the recording used to be done on cassette, on tapes. So Dr. Sahib is mentioning that majalis that have been translated from tapes have been done from majalis recorded by Brother Yusuf Bulbulia. So Brother Yusuf Bulbulia, he was known as Nobs from Cape Town. He was the brother of Marhum Hashim Bulbulia. So during his visits to Jalalabad, when he used to go to spend time with Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, he used to record the majalis. Brothers, older people who used to attend the ijtimas, etc., so then you'll remember Hashim's tape library. So they used to record the ijtima bayans also, and they used to sell the recordings there in the ijtimas. So Brother Yusuf passed away on the 19th of December 2010 in Johannesburg, shortly after arriving from Cape Town. He was 65 years old, born in Johannesburg. He attended the Bree Street Indian School. Those days was apartheid, so he had white school, Indian school, Kadet school. He received Taaleem from Imam Khasant, they pronounce their names like that, in Friadadob. Working for different retailers for a while, he was sent to Cape Town to run a shop. When some dini realization finally dawned on him, he joined his friends in their activities. Hashim finally persuaded him to go to Jalalabad. He took his advice and went with his wife, and they spent a total of 13 months there. Today's time, we think we're going to spend 1 day and 2 days and our islah is going to get made. I remember Hazrat Mahesh Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he mentioned in one majlis that one person had gone to Hazrat Mona Shafari Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. So he came and Hazrat asked him that how long are you going to be here? So he said 1 day. So he asked him, so what have you come for? What's your maqsad? So he said, no, I came to make my islah. So Hazrat Thanvi told him that in 1 day, you cannot even sort out a physical bimari. Where are you going to sort out all your spiritual bimaris? So he said, okay, I'll make it 3 days. So he told him, in 3 days too, what can you sort out? So he told him, see, this visit, make it for mulaqat. You came to make mulaqat. Then after that, when you got time, you must seek permission, and then you come for your islah. This visit here, just make it for mulaqat. So when he was leaving, so he came to ask Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali for some azkar. Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali told him that I told you this visit was for mulaqat. Now what you coming to ask for azkar now? And later, Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali explained that had I prescribed for him some azkar, now he would take it that now that's my solution to my problems now. Hazrat Abdul Haq Magda Sahib, always he emphasizes this, that the azkar, etc., that is like the vitamins. If you're making zikr, that doesn't mean you made your islah. Zikr is very important. You must make zikr. But making zikr doesn't mean my islah got made. Making zikr is something else. Sorting out one's inner self, one's islah, that is something else. So he stayed there for 13 months. So under the guidance of Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, he attained sufficient ilm for him to go back to Cape Town and assist Brother Hashim in teaching at the Maktab, which his brother Hashim had already established. In those days, there was hardly anything happening in Cape Town. The attraction of Jalalabad was irresistible. He went back in 2008 and he spent 17 months. First time he went, he spent 13 months. Second time he spent 17 months. Then he went again in 2011 and he spent 10 months. Now, let me ask myself and you ask yourself, why can't we take out that time? I'm not saying you must come sit here, but I'm just saying, how come he could take out that time? 13 months, 17 months, 10 months. How come he could take out the time? Why we can't take out the time? We have become consumed by the world. We are living to work. We don't work to live. Our weakness is that the more we earn, the higher our standard of living becomes. So money is never enough. Money is never enough. If you are earning this amount, you live in that amount. When you start earning more, you start living in that amount, more. So the money is never enough. You got to carry on working. So you find a person is, what they say, like one leg in the qabr too, he's still opening another business. He just carries on, it doesn't end. But some people, Allah Ta'ala has given them the ability to have a cut-off. Look, now, enough. Allah has given me sufficient. I was worshipping Allah Ta'ala. Now I must worship Allah Ta'ala exclusively now. That's a very, very big ni'mat if a person can have that in him. So he took out another 10 months in 2011. So after Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali had passed away, then he made rujoo to Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So he had passed away at that time. So Dr. Sahib just mentioned this with regards to him. And he said the readers are requested to make dua for his maghfirat. Allah Ta'ala forgive him. Allah Ta'ala grant him Jannah. Bulbulia brothers in Cape Town, they assisted Maulana Adam also a lot. Maulana Ibrahim Adam, Rahmatullah Ali, when he went to Cape Town. So one of the big problems in Cape Town was the people at that time didn't want to hear about the Akhirat. Didn't want to hear about Jannah, Jahannam and life after death and all that. You don't talk about all that. And Maulana Ibrahim Sahib, he started talking about this. Then he started having programs, majalis, and he used to go in depth explaining, you know. And he was receiving death threats. So many places where he went, he started having programs and he used to get kicked out from there. Let's go another place. Go start off somewhere else, get kicked out from there. And he got a lot of death threats. Was threatened with his life. Very seriously at times. But he persevered. And his Bulbulia brothers, they had given him a lot of support. They once stood by him and they gave him a lot of support. Allah Ta'ala reward them. Allah Ta'ala grant them desire khair. that the next majlis is a translation of a majlis that was held by Hazrat Ji Maulana Muhammad Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali in Jalalabad in India on Saturday the 5th of Jamadul Ukhra 1409, corresponding to the 14th of January 1989. So this majlis was titled The Harms of Wasawis and the Remedy. Wasawis refers to the whisperings of Shaitan. So the harms of this wasawis and the remedy. See, one Buzurg Allah Ta'ala blessed him with kashf. So on one occasion he saw Shaitan. Shaitan, kashf is meaning, sometimes some friends may not know what's the meaning of kashf. Now you sit here in the majlis trying to figure out what is this kashf now. And 10 minutes of the majlis is gone. That too is waswasa from Shaitan. Takes you away from concentrating on what you're supposed to be concentrating on. It takes our mind to other things. It's nonsensical. So, kashf is where Allah Ta'ala opens some things for you, which you see certain things which normally you can't see. That is kashf. So this can only happen if Allah Ta'ala allows it. And it's not that a person who got kashf, now all the time he got kashf. When even Allah wants him, he will be blessed with that kashf. So, this particular buzurg, he was blessed with this kashf, and he saw Shaitan. So Shaitan is having a good laugh. He's laughing, he's very happy. So this buzurg, he asked Shaitan, he said, see, you cause so much problems. You have some shame in you. You're sitting here and you aram, you're laughing away. All the problems in the dunya is because of you. You should have some sharam in you, some shame in you. So Shaitan told him, what are you blaming me? I don't do anything. Why are you blaming me? So he told this buzurg, he says, see, let me show you what happens, and you see if it's my fault. I don't do anything. So this buzurg is observing him. So Shaitan goes to one mithai shop, and he takes some syrup, and he puts it on the wall. Some syrup put on the wall. So a few seconds later, one fly went and sat down on the syrup. So one lizard saw the fly, he went for the fly. So the owner of the mithai shop, he had one cat. So the cat saw the lizard and went for the lizard. One person was walking past with a dog. And the dog saw the cat. The dog went for the cat. Both owners are trying to separate these two, but the dog killed the cat. The owner of the shop got so mad, he killed the owner of the dog. Now there's a big fight happening. Owner of the mithai shop and his friends, and that person and his friends, whole big fight is happening. Eventually the police came, loaded the whole lot up, took them away, police station. So Shaitan asked the buzurg, what did I do? You blaming me. What did I do? So Shaitan he just makes a waswasa. He just lights a match. That's all. Just you look at today's time, feuds take place, arguments take place. I was in Transkei and I met one group of police officers. Quite a few police officers staying at one place there. So, finding out that what are these officers all doing here? So they said, no, there's two families here in a certain place. Very big families. And they got a feud for years. Very feud going back many, many years. Every now and again, something will happen and they start fighting. Very violent. And now the rest of the people in the village have to choose sides. Now, which family side you on? So these police, they are stationed here to keep the peace. Make sure now another fight mustn't erupt. So in this, this person mentioned this, and I'm thinking about the Aus and the Khazraj. The Aus and the Khazraj. They used to fight for so many years, they had feud. Fighting over little things. The fight can carry on for years. So many people will lose their lives. Then they'll calm down. Again, some small thing will happen. Carry on. Jahalat. When we move away from Allah Ta'ala, when we don't have Allah in our lives, then all this fighting, this arguing, these problems, all these things become very important to us. The mind gets consumed with all these things. But when a person has Allah Ta'ala in his life, then he haven't got time for these things. So, jaane do. Let it go. Give the next person the benefit of the doubt and let it go. Ji. So, shaitan just needles, you know, he just does something. So this waswasa of shaitan is a very dangerous thing. Very dangerous thing. So this whole majlis is about the harms of wasawis and the remedy. The different types of wasawis. You see how Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali is explaining this. If an individual is a murid, and his heart wanders in a certain direction on a ghair ikhtiyari basis. Person is a murid. His heart is wandering in a certain direction, ghair ikhtiyari. That means he is not bringing the thought. Ghair ikhtiyari, non-volitional, the mind, heart is going. But his mind deliberately follows in that direction in a volitional, in an ikhtiyari basis. Understand this thing, understand it carefully. The heart goes somewhere, ghair ikhtiyari. You can't control it. The heart went in a certain direction. But now, the mind, you make the mind follow with our own ikhtiyar. The heart went somewhere, now we're making the mind follow with our ikhtiyar now. The end result is frustration and difficulties. Pareshani, difficulties. A person achieves nothing. He achieves nothing. At this time, there is a great need for firmness. Mazbuti. Have to be firm. If the individual has a weakness, is a weak person, weakness of character, He has a nervous temperament. Then a fire, a blaze, not a major one, perhaps but a minor one, arises within him. That is, he is now overcome with burning anxiety. It is now very difficult to suppress it, and it is now necessary to oppose it with a great deal of firmness. This anxiety, anxiousness. This person's sutter is open. Right in the back corner. He should on no account act in accordance with it. He mustn't follow that. That pareshani, that anxiety, he carries on talking to this one, telling that one, do this. No, he mustn't follow it. He should suppress it. No matter how much of force is required, never act accordingly. Absolutely not. He should tackle the task of opposing it. Then, inshallah, his weak temperament will be reversed. This is the method for its rectification. Yes, initially it will be burdensome, but the cure is to oppose it. With firmness, oppose it. This is the teaching for him. Now in this age, these conditions appear rapidly to affect people. That is why it will be taxing in the beginning. First, a person doesn't know how to overcome this thing. He doesn't know how to fight it. That individual who has a strong personality and his limbs, his intestines are sturdy, he will not be affected by such influences. He's got a strong mind and his inside is strong. This is why it's a deep meaning. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah ta'ala loves a strong believer more than a weak believer. But in both there is goodness. In both there is goodness. But he will not be affected so much by these influences because he has inner strength. Inner strength he has. This prevents the condition from developing, and if it has developed, he will repair it. See, sometime. A person is living his life, right? He's living his life normal. Now, he gets sick. He's sick for a while, whatever. He goes to the doctor because his toe is paining. The doctors, mashallah, they're very thorough. So they start from head to toe, check up this blood test, that. Now they tell him, that, see, you got one very serious bimari. This bimari is quite long in your body. You know, you should have picked it up earlier. Not much we can do now. We try to do whatever we can do. But don't worry, you'll be okay. So now, this person now, this thing starts eating him up. But they're telling him it's from long time in your body. He was living nicely all this time. That means it was in his body, he was living nicely, no problem. But now because they told him this thing now, now it finishes him up. Mentally, he's finished, he's crying, what's going to happen now? All the ifs and the buts and the this and the that. On the other hand, you get a person who is strong, right? He's got a strong mind. Got a strong insight. Now they give him this information. Allah sukam. Right. Jo bhi ho. all these years I was taking Panado and carrying on. So I take my Panado and carry on now. What's the worst going to happen? I'm pass away. That was going to happen all the time. So where's the problem now? Strong thinking. Not to say he mustn't make Iraj, not to say, but you see, he won't let this thing overcome him. That now he's finished up, he can't work, he can't do nothing. No, he won't allow for that to happen. We had one uncle, MP Tamarasburg. He was very active in Jamaat. His name was Ali Khan. Ali Khan. Allah Ta'ala for his cover, you know. Very nice person. So he used to always say, say the doctor told me I must stop eating steak. Because I've got this problem, that problem. If I'm going to eat steak, that will be the end of me, He said, I'm eating properly. The doctor died. I'm still carrying on. The doctor died. I'm not saying you mustn't make iraj. The doctor told him for his own good, right? If you got a problem, you got a sugar problem, you got pressure problem, whatever, you have to make pareji. I'm not saying you mustn't make pareji. What I'm trying to say, a strong mind, right? He didn't let it get him down. He didn't let it get him down. One uncle of mine, he had come to Azadpur. I was in Madrasa at the time. So he had come to Azadpur and his son was studying far away from where we were. And now, I get a phone call because there was a jor happening there. So they couldn't get hold of him. I get a phone call, say, go and find your uncle, son is gone missing. Son is gone missing. So I went and found him and told him, this is the thing, you must put your phone on. It was early days of cell phone. Cell phone used to die in 2 hours' time. So he had his cell phone on charge somewhere and whatever. He said, put the phone on, this is the problem. So as soon as I told him, he went straight in the masjid. He went in the masjid, he read 2 rakats namaz with itni naan. Not a rushed 2 rakats. 2 rakats, like, no, nicely. He sat for a long while, he made dua. Right? Then, he went to make the phone call. I see that is a strong mind. Person with a strong character, a strong mind. You don't just allow halat, conditions to consume you, to finish you up. That now you can't think, now you're sitting down and you're crying and you're breaking down and you can't function anymore. That's not how it should be. Halat will come. Allah Ta'ala is there. Allah Ta'ala is there. Whatever the halat are, that is written by Allah Ta'ala. Whatever the outcome is also written by Allah Ta'ala. So we cannot be weak in these situations. Person cannot be weak. For the individual who has a weak constitution, weak limbs and weak intestines, he will be quickly affected. The affliction is very powerful. Now to repel the affliction requires a great deal of effort, a lot of effort. But this strain has to be borne with steadfastness. Once this has been done a few times, the individual's temperament will become stabilized. This temperament will become stabilized and the strain will cease. It won't be so difficult for him because now he's training himself, he's strengthening himself. It won't be so difficult for him anymore. To repeat, at that time a severe anxiety develops a person. whatever problem took place, now a severe anxiety develops in him. To suppress this anxiety is a tremendous strain on one who is weak mentally and weak constitutionally. However, act against it forcefully. Act against it forcefully. No matter how much the mind wants to worry, don't let it worry. Occupy it in something else. No matter how much this whim is coming in the mind, don't let it come. Don't let it come. Fight the emotions with the akal, with the intellect. The akal is the most powerful thing. The akal rules the whole body. And the akal is governed by the shariat. So, emotionally, you're going in another direction. The heart is going in another direction. One day, our Hazrat Mawlana Patel Sahib Rahmatullahi's son, Mawlana Muhammad, now residing in Madina Munawwara. So we were traveling somewhere in different vehicles, you know, going for Hazrat Mawlana Mazhar Sahib's program in Lens or something like that. And we had come out from the garage. So I had the Jamaat that I was with, we had left a few minutes earlier. And then Mawlana Muhammad and them came out. And as they came out, an accident had taken place on the highway. One family was traveling and one vehicle hit into them. And the children passed away. So the father was hysterical. He was... So Mawlana Muhammad phoned me and he's telling me, you know what, this is what happened. Just speak to this man, you know, try to calm him down and speak to him. So as soon as he came on the phone and I went to talk to him, and then I could hear what he was saying. So then I said, it's better to maintain silence. Don't tell him anything. Let him work through his emotions. You know, tell him something in this state, he may utter something worse. Now see, there are certain statements that a person can utter when somebody passes away, which can be statements of kufr. Right? How does a person save himself or herself from that? Is to keep your akal about you, isn't it? A lot of times you find there's a mayat, janaza has taken place, now the family is called, you know, call the doctor, just give her a jab, just knock her out. Why knock her out? The mother, maybe her child made an accident, whatever. So no, knock her out. Why knock her out? Because now she's going off, out of her mind, she's going off, right? She's just crying and she's saying things and, you know, so, you know, just give her one tablet or give her one injection or something and knock her out. It's not supposed to be like that. A person is supposed to remain firm. Now, even if that emotions are coming, and now through that emotions, a person wants to react in a certain way, but he has to be able to control those emotions with the akal. He mustn't allow the akal to follow those emotions. The akal is going to follow those emotions, he's going to find himself in a problem. And at time, he can even utter words that can be words of kufr too. But if he maintains his akal, he's got the shariat on top of him, now he will remain firm. Now, no matter how strong those emotions are coming, but I have to remain firm. Whether it is in anger, whether it is in love, whether it is in problem, whatever it may be, I can't allow for that because I have a greater objective. All these things are just halat. I have a greater objective, the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, my iman, my akhirat. Right? So I can't allow for these things to now finish me up. By doing so, the person will, by fighting this thing, the person will get strong. It is necessary to avoid any situation causing worry and anxiety. Whenever a situation presents this causing worry and anxiety, one should quickly move away from it. Don't allow it to consume you. And you see, this is where the waswasa comes. A problem takes place. Hazrat mentioned this in Tafweez, right? That kitab, cure for depression. The person went, he proposed. Answer came no. Right? Now, instead of being firm, right, I'm disappointed, but right, khair. Allah Ta'ala knows best. There must be some goodness in this thing for me. Goodness for her, goodness for me, goodness for the families. That khair, this was Allah's decision. Finish. Close shop. Let me move on now. Move on with my life. Right? But now I'm weak. Now I'm thinking now. But they said no. Why they said no? What's wrong with me? Now I'm getting a depression now. Right? Oh, no, boxing gloves are on now. Why they... I had a fight with that. That's this girl's uncle that argue, oh, must be he told them this. Right? Now I'm joining the dots. That man, bichara, he didn't even know I'm going there. Now when I see him in the masjid now, I got it in for him. Right? What all this now, you see, this shaitan's handiwork comes in. Shaitan's handiwork comes in. But if you just remain firm, khair, this is Allah's decision, I must do what Allah wants of me and carry on. Now you're moving, you're carrying on. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. We'll continue with this. At this point in the majlis, what actually happened was, a lady... A lady in full parda, right, appeared for some need of hers. Some hajat she had, some need, whatever. So she came at that point, at that time. And Azji may have seen to her. And after that, Azji digressed. He stopped this topic and he digressed. Speaking about something else, then later on he comes back to this. We will continue next week, inshallah ta'ala, if Allah give us tawfiq and hayati. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu wa laka shukru. Allahumma rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fi al-akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والعفة والأمانة وحسن الخلق والرضا بالقدر. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله.